Hello, Audio Boo. It's Saturday night, the 5th of January. Happy New Year. Hope you all enjoyed my last recording, which was rather interesting. I am here because I just got back from seeing Les Mis, and I need to talk about it, and it's hard to talk about it in 140 characters on Twitter, even though I just wrote a tweet about it too, but I need to talk about it more in depth, because Les Mis is a very important part of my life, and is one of the main reasons I am the theater freak I am today. Back when I was about 8 or 9, my parents came home, my dad introduced it to me, with the 10th anniversary concert recording of Les Mis. This had been done in, I believe, 1995, and basically what it was a concert featuring some of the most well-renowned actors who had played various roles in Les Mis at the time, and they all got together and did a concert version of the show, and it was brilliant. So Colm Wilkinson was Jean Valjean, Lea Salonga was Eponine, Michael Ball was involved. I don't remember the guy who played Javert. I think he was Australian, but I'm not sure. I'm sure you can look it up on Wikipedia. Ruthie Henschel was Fantine. There was a bunch of famous people in that thing, and I listened to it all the time. My dad would put it on during breakfast for my brother and I, and for those of you who have heard the score of Les Mis, you know those two big booming notes that start off, you know, look down, look down. Yeah, so I woke up to that every morning for breakfast, and eventually we also got Titanic the Musical, which has another completely brilliant opening section, which I also woke up to, but Les Mis was always very special, and of course we would sing along. My first really big solo when I started singing a lot, and I actually brought this to a talent show, was Castle on a Cloud. And those of you, probably just Nick, who are listening, will remember I sang that in the 1997 Helen Keller Camp show, the infamous Somebody Broke a Seat incident. It was pretty funny. I'm sure there's still a recording of it out there somewhere because it was hilarious. But that was my song. Like, I grew up with Les Mis. I remember walking around camp when I was, I guess, 13 with a couple of my friends, and we would just suddenly randomly out of the blue start belting out On My Own or I Dreamed a Dream. I sang On My Own, that was another big solo of mine, in the camp show in 2001 during a Broadway medley, during which another one of my friends sang I Dreamed a Dream, and two little girls, including the adorable Brie Clouser, who is practically famous now, sang Castle on a Cloud. And it's just something that I've always loved and that I've always had such fond memories associated with it. My high school, Holy Trinity, was the first high school to put on a performance of Les Mis in the country. I went to see it. It was awesome. It was the year before I got there, unfortunately, but I did get to see it, and I did know some people in the cast. I believe Jen Oshkowitz, who is now also famous. She's Tina, the Asian girl on Glee. I think she was in there. A few of my friends were in there. I know one of my friends who later helped head up Music Ministry played the bishop. And I saw it twice on Broadway, the first time when I was 9 and the second time on our 8th grade trip when I was 13. Best trip ever. So you can imagine how excited I was when I found out that Les Mis was coming out as a movie. Of course, I was excited and apprehensive because I've seen many musicals be transferred to screen, and sometimes they are awesome, like Dreamgirls, and sometimes they are okay, like Rent, only they have these big, huge, wrenching parts that you're just like, what the hell, why did they do this? This does not need to be there. Joanne and Maureen's commitment ceremony, I'm looking at you, that has no place in the show in the late 80s. Well, I'm going to digress. And some of them are just bad. Some of them are Phantom of the Opera. I mean, granted, I've never seen the movie version of Phantom of the Opera, and I'm not a Phantom fan to begin with, so that probably colors my perception a little bit. But, yeah. So, I was apprehensive, and I wasn't really sure how they were going to do it. When I saw the first trailer came out, I think around probably May or June, I heard it, and I was like, okay, Anne Hathaway usually isn't this bad a singer. What's going on here? And then the second trailer came out, which was the one where they talk and they kind of explain the whole singing live thing. And I was working at Ryan Cronin's office, the Senate candidate, and one of my friends who I was working with played the trailer on his phone, and we were just squeeing. I swear to God, we were squeeing. It was so exciting. And, you know, they're singing live, and they actually have some good singers in this cast. I mean, Hugh Jackman has a Tony Award. Anne Hathaway is brilliant. Russell Crowe is Russell Crowe, and he has a singing background, kinda. So, for the and then there's some of the reviews started coming in, and so going into the movie tonight, I was feeling pretty good. I mean, I'd read some less than kind reviews from other places. There was a blog, Badass Digest, which I recommend you check out because it's great. It's badassdigest.com. And they did not enjoy it, mainly because of various swooping, whooping camera angles used by the director, which obviously doesn't make much of a difference to me, but apparently would to a film person. And then there was an article in the Times yesterday, I think it was either yesterday or Thursday, in Arts and Leisure by Charles Isherwood, who's one of the Broadway critics, who was talking about his impressions of the film from a theater perspective and how he didn't really like it, but he was rooting for it anyway. And you know, it's gotten mixed reviews from theater people. There are some that love it. I know when Lin-Manuel Miranda went to see a preview and was tweeting about it, I got really excited because I love him and I thought, and he loved the show. So going into the movie tonight, I was feeling good, but I was a little nervous because I was, as I said in a Facebook status earlier, I was so scared it was gonna suck, and it did not suck. It was really, really good. I mean, there were some parts that I could have. Hugh Jackman is a good singer, but he just doesn't really have the Jean Valjean type voice that I was looking for. Now, remember, I grew up with Colm Wilkinson as Jean Valjean, and I don't know if you've ever heard Colm Wilkinson. I doubt some of you have, but he is wonderful. And he actually is in this movie. If you go see Les Mis, he's the bishop. And I was very excited to see him. I knew he was going to be there beforehand, but it was still pretty cool. Russell Crowe, oh boy. Javert is, you know, he's this very driven, fierce, emotional guy. And I think his singing should reflect that. And there have been some brilliant performances. Most recently, another person that I am completely in love with, Norm Lewis, whose performance I need to dig up on YouTube, but he plays Javert and he plays it gorgeously. I kind of had hopes that Russell Crowe would be better singing than I heard that he was, and he really wasn't. I mean, he could carry a tune, but that was pretty much it. Apparently, his acting was quite good, as was Hugh Jackman's. My parents were commenting on that, but singing was lackluster at best. I mean, Hugh Jackman was better because Hugh Jackman is more of a is actually has a lot of more musical theater experience. Russell Crowe was just disappointing. I think maybe there should have been some songs where the keys might have done better if it was lowered. Like Bring Him Home, they did it in the original key, which I think is an A, a high A. It's high, and Hugh Jackman went for the high note at the end, and he actually kind of got it. But I think it would have been better for him and for all of us if they lowered it maybe a couple of steps. They did lower Russell Crowe's big solo, which is Stars, which is was somewhat disappointing because that's supposed to be this big song about conviction and never giving up and, you know, sticking with your version of the law and your worldview, and it's supposed to be very strong and very powerful, and I didn't really get that from Russell Crowe. I don't know, maybe the acting was better. But let's move on to good things. Anne Hathaway, oh my God. Now, I love Anne Hathaway. I've seen her sing quite a bit, heard her sing quite a bit. Whenever she hosts Saturday Night Live, they have to bring her out and sing, and there's a very funny skit where she plays Mary Poppins. So she was wonderful, and if she doesn't win an Oscar, there's something seriously wrong with the Academy voters. Although there's something seriously wrong with them because they gave the artist an Oscar last year. But I digress. She was gorgeous, and I Dreamed a Dream was marvelous. She put a lot of emotion into it. Somebody commented that she sang it just as a person should in that situation, someone who's given up so much of herself and is now dying. And when she came back at the end of the show, sorry, spoiler alert, she kind of comes back, sort of. Oh, that was beautiful, and oh, it was so good. She was wonderful. The girl who played Eponine, Samantha Barks, I'd never heard of her before, but apparently she played Eponine at in the London cast. She was good. I mean, she was all right. I'm glad she was. It wasn't Taylor Swift. There had been rumors that Taylor Swift was going to be cast as Eponine, and that would have been horrible. She got better. She really grew on me, especially during On My Own, which is, of course, her big solo. Cosette, Grown Up Cosette, was played by Amanda Seyfried, who was getting really, really, really Disney princessy. If you've ever seen Snow White, you know how Snow White sounds. That is pretty much exactly how Amanda Seyfried sounded. I was like, okay, I get it. You're a soprano. Good for you. Jeez. I saw a review of the revival of Les Mis in 2006 when Celia Keenan-Bolger played Cosette, and the critic referred to it as a little wind-up bird of a part, and yeah, I can kind of see that, especially in this case. Fortunately, Marius was enough to make up for it. Nice job, Eddie Redmayne. I didn't know you could sing. And, of course, the supporting cast. I didn't even know that these guys had names back when I was listening to Les Mis for the first time, but my buddy Arend Tveit. Tveit, Tveit, Tveit! From Next Normal, another person who the Tony Committee robbed was Enjolras, who is the leader of the revolutionaries. He was awesome. I wish I would have seen more of him, but he was great. And the kids were so cute, little Gavroche and little Cosette. They were adorable. And it was just a wonderful, sweeping, moving movie. I mean, you knew it was coming if you'd seen the show and listened to the soundtrack as many times as I have, and you had a pretty good idea. But still, you know, I was crying. There are times during the barricade, when Eponine died, when Jean Valjean died, many, many times. And it was just beautiful. And my mom was saying how the spiritual message of the film really came across more on screen than it does on stage. Which I guess makes sense because the actors are, I guess, practically right on top of you, and you really can get more of an idea of their emotions and what they're going through. So, for the most part, Les Mis was awesome. I'm so glad I finally got to see it. It was worth it. The Oscars are going to go nuts with Les Mis stuff. The nominations are coming out on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that brings them. Of course, I'll be live tweeting all of these award thingies starting, I believe the Golden Globes are this coming Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the Sunday after that, so I'll be live tweeting that. And it's going to be tough this year because I also saw Lincoln and loved Lincoln. I also saw Silver Linings Playbook and really liked that too. My brother saw Django and enjoyed that. I haven't seen it myself. I'm not sure if I'm going to, but I do like Quentin Tarantino. Not so sure how I feel about Zero Dark Thirty. Those seem like the go-to Best Picture nominees that everybody's going with. There are a couple others. The Sessions I thought was brilliant. It's probably not going to get a Best Picture nominee, but I certainly hope John Hawkes and Helen Hunt do. Moonrise Kingdom I saw a few weeks ago. That was adorable. Beast of the Southern Wild, I kind of have mixed feelings about, but the little girl is so good. So yeah, this was fun. Well, maybe there'll be more movie reviews from me over the next couple of weeks. There will definitely be Oscar-related live tweets. Other than that, I've been having a good new year. I've been watching a lot of TV. I have Amazon Instant Video on my phone, and they have The West Wing. So I'm in the middle of season 3 of The West Wing. And for the most part, I'm loving that too. So this is me, your rapturous theater movie TV critic, signing off. Until we boo again, don't forget to be awesome. Best wishes.